Well, greetings, friends. This is Herbert W. Armstrong with the good news of the world tomorrow. What is going to happen between now and that world tomorrow? How are we going to be ushered into the time of world peace, the time of universal prosperity, the time when we shall find happiness and joy flooding human hearts and souls everywhere, and eternal life coming to human lives everywhere? My friends, God Almighty is working out a purpose here below. That's the only explanation that you can come to in understanding what you see about you in the world today. Everywhere about you today, you find chaos, you find fear, and the threat of annihilation of mankind from the face of this earth. We're in a time now when the leading government officials are telling us that the weapons are now available that can destroy all humanity, all plant and animal life off an entire continent in one night without warning. That can happen here. It can come to us. We're in a time when Jesus Christ himself said that except the days be shortened that we're coming into, there should no flesh be saved alive. But he promised that for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now, what is coming on this world? Human nature has not changed, my friends, but one thing has changed, and I'm afraid most of us don't realize it, and that is the mechanisms of technology and of science and of inventive genius. Mankind has not changed, but the products of human ingenuity have been accumulated, and his machines and his inventions have been multiplying, especially in the last 100 to 150 years. Now we have come to the place where human nature, the same as it always was, has at its disposal engines of destruction that makes it possible for a madman at the helm of some power, a man who is irresponsible, some mad dictator, to plunge this world into a war where the entire North American continent can be wiped out, where you and your life and your children, your babies, your women, everybody that you know, can have their lives snuffed out without warning in one night. And I tell you, it's about time we begin to wake up and to take cognizance of this fact. It's all prophesied in God's Word. The Bible says that we would come to a time of trouble and world trouble, and especially in our nations, such as has never happened to any people, any nation since this world began, no, nor ever shall again, because God is going to intervene, and once he does intervene and take over, such a thing will never again occur. My friends, if it were not for God Almighty, if it were not for the fact that God has a plan, that he is working out his purpose here below, if it were not that that plan calls for the sending of Jesus Christ and for the interjection of divine power and the interference of God Almighty in the affairs of this world, you would have nothing but annihilation to look for, and most of you would never live your normal lives out. You would be destroyed before that time would come. There is no hope now but God. Men have tried everything in the world. They've tried everything they can think of. Men do not know the ways of peace. They've tried their alliances. They've tried their leagues, their associations of nations, their balances of power. They've tried armaments. Now there is no hope. The great men of the world know that. Sometimes they're afraid to shout out and tell you what they know. Now we've been looking into the prophecies of where are we now in the prophesied unfolding of events. It's all recorded in the Bible. You can know where we are today, what's going to happen next, what's going to happen after that, just how bad are these things going to be, what is the time order of events that will lead up to the time when God does intervene and prevent it from going any further, this hellish destruction. Yes, it's just like it was in the days of Noah. And again, just like in the days of Noah, the people didn't heed the preaching of Noah. There was only one man on earth. The rest of the people said, well, does he think he's the only one that has the truth on earth? None of the rest of them would believe him. He was the one and the only one that had the truth of God. God has always sent one man into this world to warn this world. Who was there really warning Israel but Elijah in Elijah's day? Who was there out preparing the way for Jesus Christ at his first coming but John the Baptist? Yes, who was there? And what have the people done? How many of them have ever heeded the prophets of God? Except for Elijah, whom God took away in a whirlwind to a place of safety. And incidentally, perhaps you didn't realize that Elijah was not taken up to the heaven of God's throne at all. He was taken to another place on this earth, and actually, if you read your Bible, you'll find that a message came from Elijah later from another town where he was, but the people just couldn't find him. He was taken away from them. A lot of people don't know what's in their Bibles. They just haven't read it. But except for Elijah, so far as I can think now, all of the prophets that God sent, men have killed. Men stoned and killed. They rejected. And only a Gentile city, which was a nation city, Nineveh, heeded a warning. When God sent Jonah to warn Nineveh, they listened. They heeded the warning. And so they were saved. And the destruction that was coming to them didn't come. Now, there is a destruction coming to the United States of America. And I want to tell you, my friends, there is a destruction that is threatening America. And it is designed that it is coming unless America will cry out to God. Unless America will heed the warning, this nation is going to be destroyed in less than one more generation. I don't know anyone else that has ever had the courage to tell you that, but it's in your Bible, and it's in your Bible, in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, and in prophecy after prophecy, if you have the sense to know it and to read it. If you have the keys of understanding that will unlock the doors of prophecy. You know that many of these prophecies have been closed and sealed until this very time of the end now. Daniel was one of the great prophets. And you know that the New Testament church is based on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. The prophets as well as the apostles. Jesus Christ himself, the chief cornerstone. And you'll find that over in the book of Ephesians and Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Daniel was one of those prophets. And the New Testament church is founded on this very basis, on this foundation. Daniel recorded this. He heard what he was getting from the angel, the prophecy that he was to record, but he says, I understood not. And then I said, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? But he said, this angel said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. At that time, he said, many shall be purified and made white and tried, a terrible time of trying and of trouble. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand, but the wise shall understand. What is the beginning of wisdom? Who are the wise? The fear of the eternal is the beginning of wisdom, and a good understanding have all they that do what? That do his commandments. How many churches do it today? How many churches believe in the commandments of God today? Oh, no. Most churches today will do everything they can to try to nail the commandments of God up to the cross. Jesus didn't nail them to his cross. That's what a lot of people are trying to do, however. You read in that same psalm, the 111th psalm, that the works of his hands, the works of God's hands, are verity and judgment. What did he write with his own hand, his own finger? The Ten Commandments. The very next words say, all his commandments are sure. They, all his commandments, stand fast forever and ever. That's in your Bible. That's going to judge you in the judgment day. You're going to be judged by those words. Yes, and the good understanding have all they that do his commandments. None of the wicked shall understand. What is wickedness? It is sin. What is sin? It is the transgression of the law. The transgression of the law of God. Paul said, I wouldn't have known what sin was but by the law. Except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. What law said it? The Ten Commandments. Except for that, the Apostle Paul said he wouldn't have known what sin is.
Herbert W. Armstrong will return in a moment, but first this offer concerning literature of related interest. What causes pain and frustration? When everything seems to go wrong, have you ever asked yourself why? Is there a cause for every effect? Your Bible reveals that God set into motion living guidelines that affect your life. Properly observed, these guidelines guarantee happiness, peace of mind, and success. Broken, they produce anguish, despair, and frustration. These living guidelines are commonly known as the Ten Commandments, and they can lead you to a more fulfilling and rewarding life in today's society of moral confusion. For a clear and simple explanation of how these laws can benefit you, request your free copy of the booklet, The Ten Commandments. Send your request to Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California, 91123. That's Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California, 91123.
You know, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. The end thereof are the ways of death. Today they tell you, just lean to your own understanding. Do what you think is all right, just so you don't violate your own conscience and you'll be all right. You know, today people have the idea that God has gone way off somewhere. He isn't concerned about us. Maybe he started this world, or it's all right for us to run it any way we want. God isn't concerned. That God is nothing but just someone to try to get us saved. We're under some kind of a sentence because of the fall of Adam, we think, and we're born under that kind of a doom or a sentence, and God is interested in trying to save the world by these worldly churches that we find around us today. And they all think they're going out to save the world. But they don't see that that has any connection with business. It doesn't have any connection with politics. It doesn't have any connection with war and hating and fighting. Get in the army and go ahead and hate and fight and indulge in all the politics and cheat your neighbor all you can in business and do all of those things. It has no connection with society. It has no connection with education. Go ahead to college and learn all about evolution that denies the existence of God. There's no connection, but then turn around and in the same breath, accept Jesus Christ in front of some people in a church or up in an altar, weep a few tears, and have someone come around and say, God bless you, you're saved, and you think you're all right. That isn't what you find taught in your Bible, my friends. That isn't what Jesus Christ taught. It isn't what the early apostles taught. That is not the faith once delivered to the saints. That may be what you call an old-fashioned gospel that was newfangled about 200 years ago and has become old-fashioned now. You know, every 200 years, in fact, every 3 or 4 years, we get new fads and new styles in some things, and every 200 years, at least in religion, it seems. And whatever is new, we seem to think is better. Well, it isn't always. You know, we think we get a new automobile, it's better. Well, it isn't. It's just a little shinier and newer. Your old car, it looks a little old now. And the new car has some new gadgets and some new engineering devices and one thing and another on it that the old one didn't have, but it probably isn't made as well as the old one was. Just look how foolish we are. They don't do it over in England. They get a car, they don't change the models and the styles every year, and they're good cars over there. When you buy one of those, you never expect to buy another one. Of course, you may have it reupholstered inside, just like you do your best furniture at home if you have good furniture, and all that sort of thing, but it may get a new paint job once in a while when the old one wears out. But the car was made of quality, and it was made to endure a lifetime. We just don't do things that way in America. We're looking for new styles all the time. And so we've had new styles in religion. I wonder if you can realize that. You know, we're told in the book of Jude, the next to the last book in your Bible, in the New Testament, to contend earnestly for the faith once delivered to the saints. Because, my friend, spiritual things never get old. I wonder if you ever realize that. You know, Jesus gave them a new commandment, and yet it was the same old commandment that you'll find. Let me see, it's back in Leviticus, the 19th chapter, in the 18th verse. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the eternal. There it is. You know, Jesus gave that as a new commandment, and then the Apostle John said to the people that he was writing to, yet he said, a new commandment I give you. You know, people today have got to have a new one. They don't want the old one. They think the old one is worn out. Listen, in spiritual things, my friends, there is nothing old. It never wears out. Jesus Christ doesn't wear out. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There is no wearing out to God or to anything of God or to anything that is spiritual. Now, truth is eternal. Truth doesn't change. God doesn't change. And God's way doesn't change. But we seem to have a new fad in religion, as I say. Now, we better get back to the faith once delivered. What are the wicked? Well, righteousness is all thy commandments. Sin is the transgression of the law. And a good understanding have they that do his commandments, and all his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever. That's in your Bible. You can quote Romans where Paul said, do we make void the law through faith? Not very many people like to quote that one. He said, yea, we establish the law by our very faith. But that was wrong. I mustn't quote that. A lot of people wouldn't like that. They don't want that one. They want the one that says, by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified, and not understanding it, they try to think that means you mustn't keep the law. That's true. You can't be justified by the works of the law. Works of the law means rituals of the law, which we're not to observe today anyhow. It has nothing to do with the Ten Commandments. But even if it did, by the keeping of the Ten Commandments, you cannot be justified of your guilty past. Justification has only to do with the guilty past, and you cannot be justified by being good today. You know, you can't wash off the dirt on your face with a looking glass. You look in the mirror to see whether there's any dirt on your face. If it's not right under your eye someplace, you can't see it. If it's around on the side of your cheek or under your chin, you can't see the dirt until you look into a mirror or something. And when you do, you don't try to use that mirror. But looking into the mirror, the use of a mirror, are no dirty faces washed clean. And no dirty heart, sir, was clean by the law of God. By the law of God comes the knowledge of sin. You'll find that in Paul's writing if you want to read it. And then he goes right on to say in that very same chapter, because I've been quoting out in the third chapter of Romans, and the very last verse says, do we then make void the law through faith? Yea, he says, we establish the law. And then he says, where no law is, there is no transgression. And then again, he says that not the hearers of the law, but the doers of the law shall be justified. It's only the doers that will be justified. You can't be justified unless you do the law. But your obedience to the law will not do the justifying. The blood of Christ does that. Christ paid the penalty for you. But he won't do it unless you conform to conditions. And the condition is that you have to repent of your disobedience and you have to obey God's law. I wish people could have the good sense and the sound mind just to see a little truth. But you know why most of you people can't see it? Because you're not willing to see it. You don't want to see it. You have a mind, a carnal mind, that is enmity, antagonistic to God and the very law of God. The law of God is love. God is love. His law is love. And it was given in love. And love is the fulfilling of the law of God. But it's a divine spirit love that you weren't born with and you don't have until you receive it from God. The love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. That's the love of God that will fulfill his law and the only one. Well, now let's get back to this prophecy. I've given you a sermon along another line that I hadn't intended to, but I got on that line, I just couldn't help it. Now, let's get back to the faith once delivered and back to this prophecy. The words were closed and sealed till the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried. A terrible time of trouble. Now, in this very chapter, Daniel had talked about that. The angel had showed it to him at the same time, the first verse of this same chapter. Michael shall stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even at the same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. That says many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life. A lot of people think Daniel didn't know what he was talking about when he wrote that. They think that they're not sleeping in the earth. They're up in heaven. Listen, the wicked will not understand. The wise shall understand. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And then the obedience to God finishes it. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. There it is. If you're not willing to surrender to do the commandments of God, you won't understand this and you won't agree with one word I say. You'll say that I'm all wrong and you're all right. But in the judgment day, my friends, we'll find out who's wrong and who's right. So God is allowing you to believe or disbelieve just as you please. Now, verse 4. Again, the angel said to Daniel, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. That's the time we're in now, this time of trouble. That's just ahead of us now. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. It is being increased at the time of the end, but only the wise can understand. My friends, I ask you, can any church denomination that has not altered or changed this doctrine and has not admitted any new truth, especially in the new light of prophecy that has only come to light in this 20th century and near the middle of the 20th century, that before it ever was revealed or opened up, it's been closed until then. I just read it to you in Daniel's prophecy. The words are closed and sealed till the time of the end. I ask you, can church denominations that still believe exactly what they did 100, 200, 300, 400 years and more ago, can they understand these truths that were closed at that time? And they haven't been willing to admit any new truth or come to any new understanding since. Of course not. That's very self-evident. That's why you don't hear these things, my friends. That's why you haven't heard them preached. You know that the average preacher today can only preach what his church allows him to preach? You know, I was commanded to preach just what I was allowed to preach. And the head of the church came to me and told me that. And he said, we want you to preach only what our board says you can preach. And he said, I don't want you to look for any more new light or any more new knowledge in the Bible. Just preach what we've decided can be preached. I quoted him from Hosea 4:6. I said, you are on very dangerous ground. God says that if we are going to reject knowledge, that he will reject us. And I said, you're not only rejecting knowledge yourself, you're commanding me to. I cannot do it. My wife and I said, from henceforth, we'll serve God and him alone, and we rely on God alone for our salary. You know, there are a lot of ministers who would like to go out and preach the truth, but they're afraid they couldn't be supported if they did.
Herbert W. Armstrong will return in a moment. But first, this offer concerning literature of related interest.
What is the true gospel? This free booklet helps you understand one of the most divisive questions of our time. We live in a world of many different religions. While teaching peace and harmony among men, their people are led to war against one another. Witness the long-standing Hindu-Muslim conflict, the Jew-Arab crisis, and the Protestant-Catholic confrontation in Northern Ireland, all believing they have the true religion. Ironic, isn't it? With over 400 denominations in the Western Christian world, haven't you ever wondered which one is right? Who teaches what Jesus taught? This free booklet helps you understand that message in the light of today's world. What is the true gospel? Your copy is free. There's no charge or follow-up. What is the true gospel? Send your request to Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California, 91123. That's Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California, 91123.
You know that years ago, about the time this broadcast was starting, in fact, just before the broadcast that you're hearing now actually started on the air, and a man came to me and he said, "Well, Mr. Armstrong, you're not going to last long." "Oh," I said, "you think so? Why?" He said, "No one is going to support what you preach." "Well," I said, "what's wrong with it? Why?" He said, "Well, you're preaching the truth of the Bible just as it is." And he said, "People don't want that. They don't believe the Bible as it is, and they won't support it. The Bible corrects people and reproves them, and people aren't going to pay you to correct and reprove them." "Listen, my friends, I've been smashing people on the jaw. I've been socking them right between the eye. I've been slapping their faces and their cheeks ever since with the Word of God, because the Word of God corrects us. It reproves us. And I tell you, it hits us good and hard." And Mrs. Armstrong and I said that we would rely on God. I want to tell you, in those days, if we ever saw a $5 bill, it was a complete fortune. It was just as if someone today would inherit $250,000, just about. And, yes, we even had men going hungry. We didn't from that time on, though. No, we never had to go hungry, but I'll tell you, we didn't have very much. We just barely had our needs and no more, absolutely no more. I didn't even have an automobile at that time. I had even had to hitchhike out in the country to speak to people out in a little country schoolhouse, a one-room country schoolhouse. I know a lot of other ministers would just like to preach the truth. Many have come to me and said, "Brother Armstrong, if you would just sort of sponsor me and put me on a payroll and give me a salary, I'd like to go out and preach." Yes, sure, and they'd preach anything I'd tell them, provided I'd pay them. My friends, nobody can pay me to say anything they want me to say, except God Almighty. I have been free and unshackled, and my mouth has not been muzzled. And God Almighty opened up the door of radio and the printing press, and he said, "No man can shut that door, because we rely on God by faith. We don't even beg you for money on the air." Did you ever notice that? We make it known to God in prayer. And God somehow has a way of finding enough people that don't get angry when the Word of God corrects them. Well, anyhow, now I've been explaining these last few broadcasts of how, at the present time, the same gospel that Jesus taught is to go to the whole world. They rejected that gospel. They rejected Christ, but later they took up the name of Christ and accepted that. And as Jesus said, that they would go out in his name, meaning that they would accept his name and go out as Christians and saying that they are the ministers of Christ. I want to read that to you again in Matthew 24. The very first thing he said would happen, and this has happened all through the age, ever since the time of Christ. I read this to you so much, but it always seems there's a new meaning to it, and I want you to get this. "Many shall come in my name," saying. Those that come in his name come in the name of Christ. They come as Christian ministers. They say, "I am a minister of Jesus Christ." You can't come in his name any other way. Those that come in his name come using his name, saying, "I am the Christ." Oh, yes. And they preach Christ to the nations. They preach Christ to the world. They publicize the name of Christ. But they have rejected his message. His message they will not obey. Jesus said, "You have to believe the gospel, and you have to obey it." And it's the gospel of the kingdom of God. That has not been proclaimed until now, but the prophecy for now is, Jesus said, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a witness unto all nations, And then will the end come. My friends, we're very near the end. This gospel of the kingdom started in a little 100-watt station up in Eugene, Oregon. It was just a small community. There is no smaller place, no smaller radio station, no smaller way in which a broadcast could start. The things of God start small, like the grain of mustard seed. But they grow, and they grow, and they grow bigger. In 19 years, this program had grown to the entire United States, coast to coast. And had reached into every state in its power and its influence. For more, this broadcast is going around the world, but it hasn't yet gone into all nations. And when it does, the end is going to come. That's where we are now. The next thing to happen is going to be famine and pestilence, and then this great tribulation that's coming on our nation. And the flight of those that are accounted worthy to escape, those that are watching, those that are close to God, that are praying always. The lukewarm Christians that are not, that yet are real Christians and believe in the Word of God and are obeying the Word of God and His commandments, they're going to be left behind. And many of them are going to come out of the great tribulation, and many of them are going to be martyred.